name's Andrew Wright. It's my privilege to be here with you this afternoon, and we're grateful for that. I'm a medical student at the University of Vermont College of Medicine in Burlington, Vermont. So today I'm representing a small group of students and faculty to present to you some of the work we did last year in 2006 as part of a public health community project that we had. So the title of the presentation is Taking Steps Towards Improving Foot Care. And what I'd like to do is just describe for you our interaction with a small sampling of residents of our community that took place in the form of free foot care clinics that we conducted for them. And also with that, it describes some of the results of some surveys that we did with these residents that we conducted with the aim of understanding a little bit of their background and some of the effectiveness of the clinics that we conducted. All right. So to describe the background of the project, in our second year of our curriculum, all of the students at the College of Medicine partner in small groups with various community organizations to help research and confront some public health concern. And in our project, we partnered with the Burlington Housing Authority, which is an organization that serves to promote and provide affordable housing in the community, particularly focused upon the elderly and the disabled. So in March of 2006, the Burlington Housing Authority surveyed the residents of South Square Apartments, which is one of the complexes for the elderly. And their purpose of the survey was to assess residents' needs and interests in wellness activities and programs. And the results of their survey indicated that about half of the residents indicated they would be willing to participate and wanted wellness activities if programs were established. But again, about half of the residents also indicated that they would not be able to attend such programs or activities if they were held outside of the premises of the complex. So when the residents were asked to identify specifically what health and wellness needs did they have, the residents indicated that foot care clinics would be considered among their top priorities. So it was at this point that our students were asked to partner with the Burlington Housing Authority and help kind of explore this need that they indicated. And considering that the population at the South Square Apartments includes a significant number of diabetics, we felt it was appropriate that they had identified foot care clinics as one of their top priorities. So to review, the American Diabetes Association recommends that persons with diabetes receive annual comprehensive foot evaluations as well as self-care education. But this contrasts with, as I understand, a recent study by the American Podiatric Medical Association that found that 73% of patients say that their feet were not routinely inspected at their doctor's visits. So our objective as students was thus twofold. The first was to conduct some research that would help us understand the background and the foot care needs of this population. In essence, we wanted to know what barriers may exist for their maintaining proper foot health, both in the form of their own self-care and the health care they receive from their providers. And we're asking ourselves basically the question, were they receiving care in accordance with the national guidelines? And our second objective was to then provide basic foot care services in a manner that might serve to pilot any future programs that would help serve to meet their needs or bridge the gap between their own care and that the provider, their primary care provider, might give them. So an important element to meeting the second objective for us was to analyze the effectiveness of our clinics and our efforts. So the methodology, what we did is basically the foot care clinics we conducted were held on two separate Fridays in November and December in 2006, and we recruited clients, residents there via sign-up sheets on the walls and a building-wide memo. And to each clinic, we brought four medical students and one medical doctor. So a total over the two clinics, a total of 18 clients participated. And each client was asked to complete a pre-clinic survey and a post-clinic survey. The pre-clinic survey was completed before they received any kind of education or any foot care, and it included questions that were basically pointed at their demographics, at their existing access to care, their own current foot healthcare practices and knowledge and concerns. It also included a true-false quiz that was aimed to assess their level of knowledge and general foot self-care. Then, as we conducted the clinics, the clients had their feet examined by students, examining for open wounds, infections, checking for peripheral pulses, looking for any musculoskeletal deformities, any decreased sensation, doing a monofilament test. And any clients with any positive findings were encouraged to seek further care from primary care providers or podiatrists or other trained professionals. Our student intervention consisted simply of trimming the nails straight across and removing any debris from under the nails with an instrument. Then each client received a two-page educational handout of bullet points that reviewed basic elements of daily foot self-care and self-exam. And it also included some recommendations for selecting proper foot care, or footwear, excuse me, and recommendations for receiving foot exams from their healthcare providers. It also included an educational statement on the importance of foot care in diabetes. So the educational handout was reviewed and discussed individually with each of the clients by one of the medical students in a one-on-one manner. So after receiving the foot care and the education, each client was then administered the post-clinic survey, which was designed to test the effectiveness of our education efforts. And so this simply just repeated the education quiz from the pre-clinic survey. And in addition, we asked them questions about their satisfaction with the foot clinic. And you just kind of see from just elements touching on basic elements of their own self-care and just whether they had a good understanding of that or not. So now on the results of our survey, one of the primary objectives that we had was to understand this patient population and if there were any barriers that may exist to their receiving proper foot care. And the results of our preclinic survey revealed the following. Of the 18 patients that we surveyed, 6 of them were diabetic, 12 were not. The patient distribution in age ranged from 50 to greater than 90 years, but a good number of the patients fell within 60 to 69 years old. That was 8 of the 18. And 14 of them rated their own health at least as fair or good on a kind of had a 5 categorization scale. Only 2 of them basically chose the bottom category of poor health, generally speaking. 2/3 of our non-diabetics, or 8 of the 12, indicated that they could trim their own toenails, and for those with diabetes, it was half. 3 of the 6 did say they could trim their own nails. On average, across all patients, they reported having 2 to 3 self-reported foot conditions. Most commonly, they checked off circulation problems, athlete's foot or fungal infections, or blisters. In answer to the question, how frequently do you check your feet, the majority, or 12, reported that they check their feet at least several times per day or nightly. You can see the remaining distribution falling down to several times a month or less. And nearly all of our clients, 17 of the 18, reported they did have some form of health insurance. And 100% of them, all of them, indicated they do have a primary care provider. In response to the question, so how many times have you actually been to see the doctor in the last year? This is their reply. Half of them reported seeing their primary care physician at least 3 to 4 times. And another 5 of the 18 had seen their PCP 1 to 2 times in the past year. So in other words, interpreting this graph, we're saying that all but one of the clients had actually seen their primary care provider within the last year. But here's the golden question, do they actually check their feet? And what we found is only 1/3 of the non-diabetic population reported that the primary care provider actually checked their feet and examined them during their visit. And this number only improved to 50% for our diabetic persons, 3 of the 6. So, some discussion, what does this mean to us? Basically, we took away from this that indeed there is a good need for preventative foot care in this setting. Despite the fact that many of them were able to trim their own feet or examine their own feet, what we found is that this is not due to the need for foot care is not due to a lack of health insurance like we might have thought, or lack of a primary care provider that we might have thought beforehand. Again, all but one of the 18 participants had seen their primary care provider in the past year. What we felt is though the American Diabetes Association is recommending that persons with diabetes receive annual comprehensive foot exams and self-education, the majority of the clients in our clinic are just not having their feet checked by their primary care provider. And so what this illustrates to us is the need resulting from a disconnect between what are national guidelines and what is actual practice in our sampling of the community. Again, part of our objective was to see, well, was this actually effective as an intervention? So on our post-clinic survey, we saw that all participants said that they found the clinic to be very educational. All of them, all 18, responded that they're now very likely to check their feet going forward from the following the clinic. And 15 of the 18 participants responded they would be likely to check their feet daily. And the remainder said at least they would check occasionally. So we found that to be encouraging. On the educational component, what we saw is, on average, across all participants, the scores on the educational assessment portion improved from a raw score of 5.5 out of 8 questions correct to 7.1 out of 8 correct on the after following the education in foot care clinic. What this graph shows is the performance as broken down by the non-diabetics and the diabetics. Something that was interesting to us is that those with diabetes scored lower on the educational piece on both the pre- and post-clinic surveys. And they also showed less improvement overall in their raw score. And this was interesting because we thought this might be the group that you would expect to have an even greater understanding of or awareness of the importance of their own foot self-care. So we're not sure exactly why they scored lower, though. We might speculate it's due to other comorbidities or confounding factors of age or educational level, what may be, things we did not ask about. What this does reinforce to us, though, is the importance of foot self-care education as recommended by the American Diabetes Association. So, again, what this means to us is from these data, we perceive the value of preventative foot care clinics to be both a screening opportunity and an educational opportunity for our patients. Although many of the clients were indeed able to care for their own feet, many yet could not, and thus our clinic presents an important opportunity to catch signs and symptoms that may be missed in the primary care office. The improvement also in clients' knowledge in foot care, as assessed by the survey, is very reassuring to us. By the result of our survey, we believe that the educational element of such foot care clinics is likely to increase the patient's likelihood of performing their own self-exams, and also the patients advocating for clinical exams when they see their primary care providers. For example, people with diabetes in our education component were encouraged to take their shoes and socks off when they sit down at the primary care office, basically demanding a foot evaluation. So we do recognize there are several limitations and weaknesses to what the work we've done. While we're very encouraged by this work, we realize that any effort to provide preventative foot care clinics is going to be met with very limited resources. Also recognize that these results are obtained from a very small sample and a very simple population or small population. So it's important, I think, that we kind of continue analyzing what potential barriers there may be to good foot care, as we very well could be missing something. And lastly, although we know clients responded very positively to our clinics, it would obviously be very necessary to conduct some follow-up surveys to truly assess what effect our intervention may have had. Basically, did our educational efforts actually translate into a higher rate of self-exams by these patients, or did they translate to a higher rate of exams by their primary care providers as well? These are questions we don't have the answer to, and we likely would need to follow up and see. So, and kind of something to take home from this, I think, for all of us today, just like to issue a challenge regarding that this may very well describe the populations and the communities that you all come from. Simple surveys can be an easy way to try and reveal if there are certain barriers to proper self-care for these patients, or if there's a similar breakdown at the point of primary care for these patients. And also identifying these same concerns in the community may serve to justify or reveal the necessity to conduct similar preventative foot care clinics, or to try and address these needs by some other means or meaningful way. I think we could all also try and take it one step further by seeking out and looking for ways to promote greater involvement in screening from primary care providers in the community and trying to partner with them in raising the level of awareness of this issue, especially amongst providers such as yourselves or primary care doctors that undoubtedly are facing their own pressures and limited resources. So in summary, just to describe our projects, we felt like we came away from this having encountered a tremendous opportunity to improve patient outcomes by just simple preventative means and by simple educational interventions. So I invite you to feel free and contact me or us with any questions you might have, or if you'd like a copy of the presentation, or any interest you have regarding what's being presented. So thank you very much.